yet in prayer. We're in prayer for, we are in prayer for Sister Doris Gerst. She's at Highland Hospital, and she's at the Jewish nursing home. She's at the Jewish nursing home, and our prayers are with her. Let us keep her in prayer. All of my 2017 leaders, or that's what you would come to the altar at this time. All persons in positions for 2017, you come. Just come in, come in, come in, just come in, come in, come in, come in. We got to work together this year, so let's get close. We're working together, so come in, come all around, come on, come on, come on, come around, come around. We got to work together. So it's okay to get close and to be tight. If there ever was a time that I'm thankful to serve this congregation, I'm the 9th or the 10th pastor, right? The 10th pastor. If I've ever been happy to serve this congregation, that time is now. Finished 7 years, which is the year of completion. In other words, we made it. We made it through good. We made it through bad. We made it through ups, and we made it through downs. And as we go into the 8th year, that's a special year. That's the year of new beginnings. And that's where we are. And that's what we're grateful for. Those who are called to positions of leadership in this church, whether you're deacons or ministry presidents, you play active roles in the work of advancing the mission of this church and the kingdom of God. Though leadership always comes with challenges, we can find hope in the knowledge that our leaders have a reservoir of help, warmth, and protection and the many members who make up the body of Christ. So today we give thanks for all who courageously stand to lead this, the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. You have accepted the office to which you have been elected or appointed, and I pray that with the help of the Lord, you faithfully fulfill its duties. I pray now for the faith and compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the boldness of Peter, for the evangelistic zeal of Philip, and for the administrative insight of Priscilla and Aquila, and I pray for the wisdom of Paul for all of our leaders. God has endowed each of you with unique gifts, talents for the edification of this, the Mount Olivet Baptist Church, and the work of this ministry. And I pray that you accept this office in proportion to your faith to minister, to teach, to exhort, to give liberally, to lead with diligence, and to show mercy. It is our prayer as members and leaders of this church that you remember those who were judges in Israel and leaders in the New Testament church. Remember our mothers and fathers in the faith, our ancestors who built and carried the church. They accomplished much, for they were rich in faith, rich in wisdom, and rich in courage. We pray that you will, according to your abilities and opportunities, show good. I charge you to show good to all, especially in helping the gospel in its purity and power to the whole human family, and that you will regularly support the work of the church by systematically contributing both spiritual and financial. And then lastly, I charge you now, therefore, in the presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and in the presence of the Mount Olivet Baptist Church, family and friends, I charge you that in all your ways you will acknowledge God and allow him to direct your path. I charge you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I charge you to serve the Lord with gladness. I charge you that you have been called not to be served, but to serve. And whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. I charge you to be kind. Somebody say, be kind. I charge you to be kind and affectionate one to another. And then finally, I charge you to run this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, it is once again that we come to say thank you for this, the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. We thank you for these leaders who will serve this congregation. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who will guide these leaders. We thank you for your presence who will take care of us and give us the vision, the direction, and the guidance that we need. Now, Lord, as we come, as we stand, we don't stand of ourselves, but we stand of you, knowing that with you all things are possible, and without you, nothing is possible. Guide us, O great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. We are weak, but thou art mighty. Hold us with your mighty hand. Lead us and guide us into your work, and it is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. You may face the congregation. Congregation, would you say amen? Stand up and give your leaders for 2017 a big hand. Amen. You may return to your seat. Install the leaders of the Mount Olivet Baptist Church.
Along the way for if you leave me I cannot stray.
Take us straight to the message today. Again, we are very thankful for our D-Men Doctor of Ministry students from Colgate Rochester Crozier Divinity School. Can we say again, amen, and a big thank you, God bless you, to our ministers for being here today. Let me take you to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's today that we say so long to the Freeman. I want the Freeman family to stand. Amen. Amen. Y'all come over here right quick. Y'all come here right quick. You talk about a family that the Lord has blessed in this church. You talk about a family that the Lord has blessed. This is a family that the Lord has blessed. Come here. A family that the Lord has blessed. I got to stand up on the second step now with this little boy right here, because he walks up to me every Sunday and says, I'm taller than you. And when he came, he was down by my waist. And now he walks up to me and gristles up and say, I'm taller than you. And I want our D-Men students to know that this young man, turn around so they can see, this young man is a preacher too. And when I finish, how old are you? He's 15 years old. Winterborn has been working with him a lot. And he can say it. And we've even taught him how to pull it. Tell him,
Jesus.
Jesus. He even has the nerve when I finish preaching to walk up to me and say, good job, doc. This young lady sings like a mockingbird. Come on, hit this little song.
Soon as I stopped worrying, worrying how the story ends, I let go and I let God have his way. That's when things start happening. I stop looking at that man.
To North Carolina, y'all are gonna be fine. Now, what did mother do? She raised two wonderful children. Amen. She raised two wonderful children. So God bless you all. Go in peace. Whatever church you all, whatever city you get to, let me know. And we're gonna help you find a good church there so that you can continue to raise these babies up into the way. And I gotta stop now because I'm gonna cry. Amen. But y'all go and go in peace.
Yes. I just want to take the opportunity to thank all of you for the love and support you provided us over the last 7 years. It's been a great deal to us. We're leaving here stronger in the Lord and wiser in the word than when we came. I just thank you for that. I appreciate the opportunity you gave my children to develop their gifts and talents, and know that as we go, we'll take Mount Olivet with us forever. Thank you.
All right, give them a hand. Amen. You remain seated. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 15 says, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Somebody say service. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presenting himself 40 days. Jesse said unto David, his son, take now thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and these 10, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. And look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. I hope I can make sense out of this by using this subject today. Sent to serve. Sent to serve. My brothers and sisters, I've looked at this text in and out, as I've considered what today would be, not knowing we would get snow at 5 o'clock when I took the dog out. Grounds were clear. 7 o'clock when I went out to crank the car up, we had what we got. Y'all, we do well with this if we go to bed knowing it's there. But if we wake up and see it, that's another story. But I've looked at this text, everybody, and I've made an assumption. And I've assumed that I go into this message that most of us in this place know the story of David and Goliath. That's an assumption that I've made, and I preach this sermon today with that assumption. I know when I get to the back door, if I've been wrong in my assessment, somebody's going to let me know. But that's my assumption, Sister Selena, as I approach this text. So let's jump somewhere in the middle of the David and Goliath story. Are y'all with me? Okay. Life does not consist of straight paths. I don't know if I wish it did or not. Because if life was a straight path, I wouldn't be able to say I thank God for the mountains. And I wouldn't be able to say I thank him for the valleys. And I wouldn't be able to say I thank him for all the storms he brought me through. I wouldn't be able to say if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. And I don't know how it is with your life, but it's wonderful in my life knowing that God can solve my problems. And that through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And I've learned to trust in God. Life is filled with crooks and bends. Life is filled with hills and valleys. Life is filled with tests, trials, and tribulations. And I've lived long enough and been a child of God long enough to know that in order to get through life as God has intended us to, you gotta have on the whole armor of God. You got to be well dressed, well prepared, and well equipped to get through life the way God has intended us to get through it. You see, God intends for us to come out better, not broken, but better. You won't have life without struggles, without tussles, and without battles. And to make it, an old person told me, you got to be able to take it. You got to be able to take it. And so as I talk to my leaders today, to make it, you got to be able to take it. Why does God give us trials? And why does God give us tribulations? I'm glad you want to know that. Today he gives us trials and tribulations to prepare us for what's coming next. Somebody say next. Do you know there's a next in your life? Do you know there is a next on your path? There's a next in your journey. There's a next in with your destiny. There is a next with your name written on it. And God has a way of preparing us for what's next. Come here, come here, come here. I know you don't know what's next. None of us in this room knows what lies ahead of us, but God knows. When David killed the lion, he did not know that a bear was coming, but God did. When David killed the bear, he did not know that Goliath was coming, but God did. And Romans 8 and 28 is one of my favorites that says, and we know that all things work together for our good, for those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And so my question this morning, are there any persons in here this morning who love the Lord? Am I talking to some folks today who went through something in 2016? Am I talking to somebody who went through something in 2016? Let me call the roll. Anybody went through something in 2015? Went through something in 2014, and now, somebody say now, somebody say now, that you look back over your life, if you will be honest with me today, you'll say it wasn't fun going through, but I'm so glad that I did. If you just be honest with me, you will say it wasn't fun going through, but God knows I'm glad that I did. Who am I talking to this morning? Can say, I didn't have fun going through, but I'm glad that I went through. Because it was a part of the process that God used to make you who you are today. I say, going through wasn't fun. Come on, be honest with me. It ain't never fun going through. But when you come out of it and look back over your life, you can say, God, I thank you for what you took me through. Look at your neighbor and say, God used that to make me who I am today. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you may not know it, but I like me now. I like me now. I've been through the storm. I've been through the rain. I've been through the flood. I've been through the fire. I've been through enemies. I've been through traps that were set out for me. And look at your neighbor. Y'all got to work with your neighbor today. Look at your neighbor and say, I like me now. And the reason why I like me now is because now I'm stronger. Now I'm better. Now I'm wiser. And I never could have made it. This amazing creature, Goliath, stands up against the armies of God. This giant stands up against God's people. Anybody here facing giants in your life? You got to fight the giants that are in your life, the ones on your resume. Sometimes you got to fight them. What God has done for you way back there, sometimes in order to get your testimony through, you can't always talk about what he's done today. Sometimes you got to go way back to your core. Sometimes you got to go way back to your gut, to your foundation, way back to what made you who you are now. Because yesterday is not what made you who you are today. It's some stuff that you went through a long time ago that's got you where you are today. And sometimes in order to become who God wants you to be, you got to look way back over your life. David had a resume that he could look over his resume. And every time he looked over his resume, he would begin to thank God for what was next. I mean, he looked at his resume and there lie a dead lion. And he began to tell God, thank you. He looked over his resume and there lied a dead bear. And he told God, thank you. And then he looked what was ahead of him and there was Goliath. And you know what he said? Oh, no problem. And the reason why it's no problem, because he's looking back at what God has already brought him through. Come here. Who am I talking to that say the reason I'm going to make it through tomorrow is because of what God has done for me yesterday? I heard this. An old man says, if you want to get rid of coyotes, you got out of your neighborhood and out of your path, you got to kill one. And when you kill one, you got to hang that one that you killed up in the tree. And when other coyotes come around and smell the dead coyote blood, they leave saying, this ain't a good place for us to be. Somebody here, you've got to hang. I'm talking to somebody here. You've already had some killings in your life. You've killed hatred. You've killed the lack of forgiveness. You've killed unforgiveness. There's some stuff that you got to hang up, so that when the devil comes at your track, he can look and smell and understand that this ain't no place to hang out, because this person does not play. When David comes to fight Goliath, listen, it changes his life forever. Not when he was anointed. Some people think that it's always the good stuff that changes my life forever. Some people think it's always the roses and the flowers that are pinned on me that changes my life forever. Some people think it's the life in the sunshine that changes me forever. But if you look in the text, that's not what changed David. You can be anointed and frustrated. You can be anointed and broke. You can be anointed and in trouble. But when he fought Goliath, his life changed. There is a fight in you that if you win that fight, if you win that fight, if you just get past that storm, come here. There's a storm in your life that some of us want to run from. I'm talking to some folk right now. You just need to hear what I'm saying. If you can just get past that hump will change your life forever. I remember a storm when I was first pastoring in Memphis. Many of you met Reverend Netters, and the church was in a storm. I've been in storms before. The church was in a storm, and Reverend Netters came to preach our church anniversary, and I had the opportunity to go to Second Baptist Church in Aiken County, South Carolina, right in the midst of a storm that I was having in Memphis. And so I met with Reverend Netters to tell him that I got a fight going on here, got a storm going on here, but I got an opportunity to leave and I can go to South Carolina. Every time I speak for him, I introduce him, I tell this story, and I sat on the Red Lobster and I said, Reverend Netters, I can go to South Carolina. He said, you don't go. He said, you can't go now. I say, but they don't like me. They mad at me. They want to throw me out. He said, you can't go now. I say, but I got an opportunity. They like me, they want me, they'll pay me, they'll bring me there. He said, you can't go now. And I say, why? With tears coming down my eyes, I say, why can't I go? I got folk don't like me, I got folk that do want me, why can't I go? He says, because you're in a storm. He says, and if you run from this storm, you'll be running from storms the rest of your life. Come here. About a year and a half later, 2 years later, he came to preach the church anniversary. The church was full. The momentum was good. The atmosphere was good. The money was good. And Reverend Nettles preached, and the Spirit of the Lord was in the place. When he got through preaching, he said, meet me at Red Lobster Monday. I met him at Red Lobster. He said, I just want to tell you, now you can go. He says, because once you defeat the storm that's trying to tear you down, your life changes. Don't run in the storm. That's when God's trying to make the most out of you. That's when God really has his hands on you. That's when God is really trying to develop you. God does not develop you on the beach. He develops you in the weight room. Goliath was his biggest battle. But hear me when I tell you, not only was Goliath his biggest battle, Goliath was his biggest blessing. Because there are blessings in your battle. David comes to fight Goliath, but he doesn't know that he's going to fight. He doesn't know that he's going to fight Goliath. He comes down to the battlefield to fight, but he does not come. Help me, Holy Ghost. He does not come down to the battlefield to fight. He comes to serve. Can I get a witness here? Let me say that David comes to the battlefield, but he doesn't come to fight. He comes to serve. He comes down to the battlefield to serve. People talk about this bag of rocks with the five smooth stones. They talk about how he kills the giant, but that wasn't what he was there for. He came to serve. If you don't believe me, look at verse 17. It says, and Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah, are y'all there, of this parched corn, and 10 loaves, and run them down to your brethren. Carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. God didn't send him there with orders to fight. He sent him there with orders to serve. David came to serve his brothers and not to fight. Now, he didn't have to fight. Look at verse 19. It says, now Saul and they and all of the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David came to serve. David was not sent to fight. Bring your brother, take your brothers their lunch. The problem today is everybody wants to lead, but nobody wants to serve. David was sent to serve. Found himself in a fight, but was sent to serve. Everybody wants to be in control, but nobody wants to submit. Everybody wants to be the boss, but nobody wants to submit. David was sent to serve. He is not called to fight. Jesse doesn't say, go help your brothers fight. He says, go and feed your brothers. Go serve your brothers. Until David was faithful with the ephah. Had he not been faithful with the call of God on his life, he would have never been blessed. Now, serving brings us to the place of our destiny. Service brings us to the place of our victory. Serving others, come here, here it is. Serving others helps us to discover ourselves. You'll never know who you are until you serve somebody else. You can't find yourself until you serve someone else. God needs folk who are willing to serve. God needs folk who are willing to serve who you, those willing to serve those even who compete with you. There's some folk on our jobs that we just can't stand because they want our job. And that's what happens with David. His brothers wanted his job. And God says, go there. And Jesse says, go down there and serve the ones who don't like you. Go down there and serve the ones who want to be in the place where you are. Go down there and serve the ones who are even digging ditches for you. Go down and serve the ones who've been talking about you. Because your serving and your blessings are not dependent upon what other people say. He says to David, your blessing is dependent upon what God says. I guess I'm trying to tell my leaders, you got to serve some folk who don't even like you. You got to serve some folk who don't even want you in the position that you're in. You got to serve some folk who wish you didn't have the position that you got. But you got to understand your blessing is not incumbent upon what people think. It's incumbent upon what God thinks. God needs folk who are not interested in making a name for themselves. God's looking for somebody who will work, serve. Look. How much service should I give? How much service should I give? You got to serve until God gets the glory. That's how much service you got to give. Have I served too much? Has God gotten the glory out of your service? Has heaven smiled on your service? When I give too much, I do too much. I'm the first one here. I'm the last one here. Well, you got to stay the first one. You got to stay the last one until God gets the glory. See, right now you getting the glory for being the first one here. But you got to be the first one there until God gets the glory. Serve someone else and you'll find yourself. The reason we can't serve is because you can't serve. Sometimes it's hard to serve people who are equal to us. We've lost the art of serving. We want to be seen. We like to be recognized. We want to be important. But when God wants to use you in a mighty way, I found out he doesn't put you on the stage. He puts us in the field. God doesn't put us on the stage when he really wants to use us. He sets us in the field. This text talks about David, but it's a leaping pad to talk about the son of David. I mean, you got to really look at this text. It fools you. Because it makes you think that the text is about the service of David, but the text is really about the service of Jesus. Because if you really want to be like Jesus, it's not all high and mighty, it's serving. Jesus does not come here, y'all come a little closer. Jesus does not come riding in on a horse with 10,000 angels behind him. He comes in a stable. Lying in a manger. Come here, y'all ain't with me. Come here. He does not come as a king. He does not come as a lion. Rather, he comes as a lamb. And as we move into 2017, we can't move like kings. We can't move like lions. We gotta move like lambs. Come here. I'm gonna stay here till y'all get ready for me. You ain't ready for me today. Look here, come here. 2017, Mount Olivet Baptist Church does not need kings. And 2017, Mount Olivet Baptist Church does not need lions. 2017, Mount Olivet Baptist Church need lambs. David was with his brothers, kings, and David humbled himself. In front of his brothers, he was king. He was king. But when Jesse said, go feed them boys, go down to the field and check on those boys. I mean, David could have said, you, me? Do you know who I am? But the Bible says that David humbled himself. And MOBC 2017, we got to humble ourselves. We have been groomed. Listen. Really, the truth of the matter is we've been groomed to be important. We have not been groomed to be servants. We've been groomed to be important. God forbid. Listen, that we be seen as servants. God forbid that I be seen as a servant. And we teach our children that you don't have to say yes, ma'am. It's the 21st century. We're not in slavery now. You don't have to say yes, ma'am. And you don't have to say no, ma'am. And yes, sir. And no, sir. We teach our children that you don't have to be slaves. That you're nobody's servant. And we raise little arrogant children with expensive tennis shoes on feet that are going nowhere. Because God forbid that our little precious children be seen as servants. I wish we go back to serving. Come here. When I told my pastor that I had been called to preach, I thought he didn't hear me. I said, Pastor, Reverend Rogers, y'all met him at my installation. I said, Reverend, I went in crying like a baby. Reverend, he said, what's wrong with you? I said, I've been called to preach. He said, go get the broom and sweep the church, not the vacuum, but go get the broom and sweep the church. So I'm out there just sweeping and crying. I don't know. He must didn't hear what I said. I told him that I've been called to preach, and he got me out here sweeping. So I finished sweeping. I got the trash up. I left the church. And next Sunday, next time I saw him, I said, I don't get crying. What's wrong with you? I've been called to preach. He said, get the lawnmower and go cut the grass. Now, come here. What I didn't know is it took me a while to learn that he was teaching me that you cannot preach to God's people if you're not willing to serve God's people. If you're not willing to sweep the floor for God's people, then you have no business preaching a sermon to God's people. If you're not willing to cut the grass for God's people, then you have no business preaching a sermon to God's people. If you're not willing to be the first one to unlock the door and the last one to close the door, you have no business preaching to God's people. My pastor didn't go to seminary, so he had to teach servanthood the way he knew how to teach servanthood. Go get the broom. Go get the lawnmower and see how well you do with a broom. Let me see how well you do with a broom before I trust you with the pulpit. Let me see how you handle that lawnmower for God's people before I turn you loose with the Bible in the Sunday school or in the church house. If you humble yourself in due time, God will exalt. I'm kind of not in a hurry today. I hope that's all right. If you humble yourself in due time, God will exalt you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says that after you suffered a little while. That's one of my favorite verses. Come here, y'all. He says, after you suffered a little while. Who am I talking to that suffered a little while? He says, Kevin, sometimes you gotta suffer a little while. He says, after you suffer a little while, after you cry a little while, after you hurt a little while, after you go through the storm a little while, after you've been talked about a little while, after you've been lied on a little while, after you've been to the cemetery a little while, he says, then will I confirm you. Then will I strengthen you, and then will I establish you, but it's only after. Am I here by myself? So those who haven't been through the storm, you got to understand that you got to go through first. You got to cry first. You got to be talked about first. You got to be lied on first. You got to be misunderstood first.
And then he says, once you've been misunderstood, once you've been through the fire, once you've been through the flood, once you've been through the storm, he says, then I will establish you and set your feet on a rock to stay. If you don't go down, come here. This is deep. Y'all ought to tweak this. If you don't go down right, you can't come up right. Serving prepares you for what's ahead. Serving prepares you for your blessings. Serving strengthens you for the journey. The problem is when we serve and serve right, somebody on the sidelines, come here, somebody on the sidelines tell you, I wouldn't do all of that if I was you. That's when you serve right. When you serve right, somebody will tell you, I wouldn't do all of that if I was you. But you know what? You ain't me. You don't know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know where the Lord has brought me from. You were not there when I made it through. You were not there when I made a vow to God that if you get me out of this, I'll serve you the rest of my days. You were not there when I signed a contract with Jesus. You were not there when he brought me through. Come here, who am I talking to can say he brought me through? Who am I talking to can say he brought me up? Who am I talking to can say he brought me out? So I'm talking to some folk this morning who really can say, I owe the Lord too much to fail him now. What are you doing serving? They'll ask you, what are you doing serving like that? They'll ask you, why are you serving like that? Don't let nobody talk you out of your blessings. Do you know the more I serve, the more God blesses me? The more you serve, the more God blesses you. Nah. Don't let folks not only talk you out of your blessings, but this service was also a generational blessing. I mean, serving will shift your life. I mean, if you want your child out of trouble, if you want your child out of drugs, if you want your child out of the street, you try serving God. Because the text suggests to us that God has generational blessings. And not only does God bless you when you serve, he'll bless your child. And not only will God bless your child when you serve, he'll bless your grandchild. Come here. And you got some great grandchildren that ain't even been born yet that can be blessed because of your service. I'm just about to get happy now. So serve not just for yourself, but serve for your children so that your children can be blessed. Serve for your children's children to be blessed. You talk about what Trump gonna do. It ain't what Trump gonna do. What you gonna do? I'm not concerned about Trump. Not concerned about who he put in office. I'm concerned about Mount Olivet. I'm concerned about who we put in office. I'm not worried about what Trump and his cabinet is going to do. But I am concerned about Harvey and my cabinet and what we are going to do. You're called to serve. You're called to push somebody else. And that's why I want to leave you this morning. You're called to push somebody else. You're called to push. Come here, somebody else. And let me tell you something. A lot of us don't like pushing anybody else. We're afraid that if I push somebody else they're gonna leave me behind. But can I tell you that when you push somebody else, can I get a witness? When you push somebody else, when you push somebody else, and that somebody that you push gets where they are going, look around and see how far the Lord has brought you. Not because of what you're doing, but because you're pushing, get behind me, somebody else. And when you see somebody pushing somebody, if you want to be blessed, get behind them and push. Can I get a witness here? Push. Push. Can I get a witness here? If you want to be blessed, get behind somebody that's going somewhere and keep on pushing. Can I get a witness here? I ought not be up here by myself. I ought to have somebody to get behind and just help me push. Can I get a witness? Push the Sunday school. Push the Bible study. Can I get a witness here? I'm gone now. I just want to tell somebody that, oh, it pays to serve Jesus. Can I get a witness here? Lord, it pays to serve Jesus. I wish I had a witness this morning who knows that serving the Lord sure will pay off after a while. Can I get a witness here? Serve because God's been good to you. Serve because he made you. Serve. Can I get a witness here? Serve the man that's right beside you. When you serve your church, you serving God. When you serve the choir, you serving God. When you serve in the photograph ministry, you serving God. When you serve in the youth ministry, you serving God. When you serve the pastor, you serving God. Let me tell you what happened to me, and I'll leave y'all alone. A lady gave me $100 about a month ago, and I've never had $100 to go so far in my life. Ain't God good? I say I've never had $100 to go so far in my life. I bought gas with that $100. I went to the grocery store. I bought juice. I bought milk. I bought candy bars. about what I needed with that $100. Reached in my pocket, and some of that $100 was still in my pocket. I went to Macy's, I called a sale, and I spent some more of that same $100. Can I get a witness here? What I'm trying to tell you is, even when you bless your pastor, even when you serve one another with just a little bit, God can take that little bit and do that little bit like he did the two little fish and the five loaves of bread. Can I get a witness here? Serving the Lord. Can I get a witness here? Serving the Lord. So we'll pay off after a while. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I'm gonna serve the Lord. Can I get a witness here? I'll serve him. I'll serve him. I'll serve him. I'll serve him. You want to make yourself great? Learn to serve. You want to make your name great? Learn to serve. If you want to hear him say, well done, learn to serve. I'm gone when I ask you, ain't God good? I'm gone when I ask you, ain't God good? I said, ain't God good? Who am I talking to? Don't mind serving. Let me hear you say, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? I don't got happy now, because when I think about how good he been, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for me, my soul cries out. I'm gonna ask you one time, and then I'm going to my seat. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Some of you sitting there on the second Sunday of 2017, and I don't know what you're sitting for. I wouldn't have religion. I wouldn't have religion that I couldn't feel sometimes. Somebody asked me, what has he done for you? He's been good to me. Who am I talking to? Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him, he's been good to me. 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 If he's been good to you, shake your neighbor's hand. I said, shake your neighbor's hand and tell your neighbor, he brought me out. He brought me out. I wish I had about two people this morning to shake my hand and say, He brought me out. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? He made a way. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. He made a way. Yeah. Yeah. He made a way. Give me a witness over here. And then I'm going to my seat. Give me just a witness. Give me just a witness. He pulled me through.
Didn't he do it?
He pulled me through. I know the Lord will make a way. Oh, yes, He will. That's all I want to tell my leaders today. I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, He will. Oh, yeah. Who's saying? He'll make up. Yes, He will. A way for you. And He will see you.
See you. Yeah.
Safely through.
Safely through.
You too! Oh, yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Yes,
yes.
The doors of the church are open.